excuse me, my mother always asked me to take off my hat, and my Rosh Yeshiva Rav Gifter used to do it as well. So that's my excuse. Happens to be a little more comfortable as well. I remember I was here 5 years ago, I believe it was. And I don't know if you remember that night, but it's a night I won't soon forget. I remember looking at the weather report, because whenever I travel, I like to look at the weather report before, and it said 30% chance of showers. In Baltimore, that means 30% chance of showers. Here, it was a mabul. And I remember there was literally rain up past my knee. And I was driving home. Somebody drove me home. And we came to a river. And I said, are we going into that? He said, well, that's the only way out. We drove through it. And there was another, I thought it was like a snow plow. But do they have such things here? Where there's a water plow? But whatever it was, when that water went over the car, I'm telling you, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. So I'm very grateful to the Ribbono Shel Olam that there's a small chance of showers tonight, and that's exactly what it is. It's nothing more. It's not easy leaving your family Hanukkah time. In my hotel room tonight, we FaceTimed each other, and we sang and danced a little bit. But certainly the spirit was very much lacking for me. And that's why I'm so grateful that the Kollel brought me here this evening. Because to sit together with friends actually fulfills halacha. You're supposed to be marve besuda, you're supposed to increase the joy, the meals that you have on Hanukkah. And it's a wonderful thing to get together on Hanukkah, and I'm very, very grateful to be here. There is a statement said over in the name of Rav Dessler. It sounds very clever. And I'm going to say it over to you, and then I'm going to translate it. Because I believe that it has an epic meaning to it. Ha'osid dimyonos. The future is an illusion. Ha'ovar chaloimos. The past is but a dream. Ha'hoive nisyonos. The present is a challenge, it's a test. Vehi chayenu. And that is what our existence is all about. The future, the Kotzker says, is an attempt of the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, to get us to lose hope. Come on, what are you going to be anyway when you grow up? I mean, where are you heading? What, you're going to be like this great tzaddik? This incredibly righteous individual. So the Yetzer Hara tries to suck the spirit and the hope out of us by telling you it's a dimyon. You're not going to be much anyway. You're not going to accomplish much, not as individuals, not as families, not as institutions. However, the past. Do we need to delve into your past? Come on. The Yetzer Hara tells you it's not exactly like it's all been peaches and cream until now. You've had a lot of things you've done that you're probably a little bit embarrassed about. I certainly know I have. I'll share none of them with you this evening. But the point is that if you look at the future sometimes appears to be bleak. You look at the past, and it's not fulfilling. But if you live for the present, then you've done what the Almighty, what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants you to do. Fight for the moment. Don't think about the future necessarily. Don't worry about the past. Think about the present. That's all that matters. This one test that's before you, that is the only thing that matters. In whatever area of life, whether it's in between man and his fellow man, man and his family, man and his employer, his employee, in between man and himself. Whatever challenge it is that you face, live and fight for the moment. That's all that counts. In fact, the term dimyon, illusion, says Reb Meilich Biederman, stands for Dam Yavon, the blood of the Hellenists. It's where they attacked us. Jewish people, you think you're going to have this great connection with God. Give it up. But we fight for the Nisoyon, says Reb Meilich Biederman, Nes Yavon. The miracle in overcoming Hellenistic culture is our ability to fight for the moment. Even though we might have lost many times in the past and we might not have a very bright future, fight for the moment. I recently came out with a book called The Touch of Chizuk. Art school has a rule, I understand, that they don't like ch words in the title. But then I told them that Rabbi Bender has a book, Chinuch with Chesed. So I got the go-ahead. A touch of chizuk, a touch of encouragement. I never get it. I understand if I go to the doctor's office and they say, Yakil, can you please come in now? Okay, they can't say Yakil. But my brother's name is Moishi. And they go, Marshi, it's time for you to be seen by the doctor. I mean, it's not a hard word. But the point is that a person lives for the moment. You fight for the moment. There was a yid by the name of Reb David Braverman. He's a mashpia. He works together with young men in Eretz Yisrael. And he was invited to a school to speak, to a yeshiva, to speak on Erev Rosh Hashanah. And he comes into the school, comes into the yeshiva, and it's Erev Rosh Hashanah, and there's music playing. Erev Rosh Hashanah, when people should be thinking and contemplating different ways to do tshuva, he hears singing and dancing. So he walks over to the yeshiva, he checks his watch, wants to make sure it's the right day, checks the date, it's Erev Rosh Hashanah, right? Didn't you ask him to speak here? What happened? He says, I'll tell you. 1 year ago, there's a young man in the yeshiva. He's a good boy. He works hard. But he's got one terrible problem. He's a terrible kaisen. He gets angry. He has a terrible temper. And it's ruining his life. People don't like to be around him. And if he doesn't get it under control, it's going to be a big problem. And so, I went over to him 1 year ago today, and I said to him, listen, I believe that you can get this under control. I believe in you. And I pulled out of my pocket an envelope of $500. And I said to him, this is a sealed envelope. It's my money. It's not even the yeshiva's money. And I believe so strongly in you and what you can accomplish that I'm not even going to talk to you about it for the next year, because I know you're going to be successful in your desire to control yourself. Well, he came over to me last night and he said, Rebbe, here's the envelope. He handed me back the sealed envelope, and on it was a letter. And he was crying. And the letter said, Dear Rebbe, thank you for trying. But after all of my efforts, I failed repeatedly. I know that I'll never succeed in this area. Thank you for giving me a chance. And I looked at him and I said, You lost your temper this year? He goes, yeah, over and over and over again. Well, how many times did you lose your temper? He said, I have no idea. He goes, I don't believe you. How many times do you lose your temper? He said, I don't know. He says, I don't believe you. I believe that you were working on it every day, and I believe you calculated how many times you lost your temper. So tell me, how many times did you lose your temper? He said, you want to know? I lost my temper 48 times this year. I exploded 48 times. And the Rebbe, without missing a beat, says to him, well, then according to my calculation, 317 days of the year, you controlled yourself. And that, my dear Talmud, is cause for celebration. So with your permission, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, we are going to celebrate the successes of your struggle. And that's why we're here, singing and dancing tonight. And Rabbi David Braverman said, well, if that's what you're here for, then I don't think you need me. No speeches are necessary. Because when you live to fight for the moment, and you're able to overcome the struggle of the moment, hi chayenu, that's what our lives are all about. There's a young man in Hopkins, John Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore. For the last 3.5 months, this young Hasidish boy has been there together with his family. And not enough, but every once in a while I go to visit them and we've developed a close relationship. And he sent me a link. A Vizhnitzer Chassid from Muncie sent me a link. And the link was a speech that was given a few weeks ago. A speech given by Richard Bernstein. Richard Bernstein is the Supreme Court Justice elect for the state of Michigan, a Jewish, very, very powerful maimon, a believer in Hashem. But what makes him so incredibly unique is that this fellow is blind, and he has used athletics to push him to become better, to face his fears head on. And he has completed 18 marathons after learning the course by heart, and one Ironman competition. And Richard Bernstein spoke at the Ohel dinner. Ohel for children with special needs. It's a wonderful organization in New York. And Supreme Court Justice Bernstein said that a woman called him up. An Orthodox Jewish woman called him up and said, I want you to tell me something. Because I davened for a long time to have a baby, and I was zoiche, I merited to have a child. But the child was born with severe disabilities. And I want to know, is my child going to have friends? Is my child going to ever get a job? Is my child going to have a family? Is my child going to be able to make it long after I am gone? Tell me, is my child ever going to be an ordinary child? And he said, no. Because you and your child were not put on this world to simply be ordinary. You were put here to be extraordinary. To live a life that's thrilling and exciting and dramatic and fulfilling and purposeful. A life with a mission and connection to Hashem. That's why you were brought to this earth. And upon hearing this and realizing where it came from, as a parent sits together with his child who was diagnosed for the second time with leukemia, and I think to myself, everybody has challenges. Everybody wonders at some time, Ribbono shel Olam, Almighty God, Can't I just have a regular life like everybody else? And the answer is no. That's not why we were put here. We were put here to face a nisoyon, to face tests, day in, day out. Everyone in this room has a nisoyon they face. And we're not here to be on easy street. We're here to struggle and to fight. But we thank Hashem al anisim v'al apurkon v'al gvurois v'al achuois v'al hamilchamos. Thank you, Hashem, for the miracles and the salvation and the redemption and for the fight. For the fight? Thank Hashem that we're able to fight? Yes. Thank you for giving us the courage to fight day in, day out. And in fights, sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. But as long as you're fighting, you're doing what Hashem has brought you to this world to do. The fight might be, can I get out of bed in the morning to learn with my chavrusa? Can I get out of bed in the morning to daven shacharis? Can I find the time during my day to daven mincha? Can I smile when my children come home from school? Can I be patient and loving with my spouse? Can I struggle to find the time to learn for an hour in the kollel at night? Maybe even only once a week. But can I find something spiritual in my life? Can I find the ability to be faithful to God, even though it looks sometimes like He's forgotten about me? V'hi chayenu. I was just talking with somebody about taking your child around for a driving test. And some smile, and some are crying in the room. Like my daughter told me, who's 17, Baruch Hashem, she has her license. Thank you, Hashem. Not only because she runs errands, but because she no longer comes back and says, I only hit the curb 3 times. That's an improvement. And it is. But when I tell her that there's bigger problems in life, she doesn't understand. How could there be a bigger problem than failing your driving test? And Baruch Hashem, she's a few years away from Shidduchim, so I can tell you it happened a couple times. Please don't tell those who are coming to interview for seminaries next week. But every person thinks that their challenge is the most important challenge. And no one else goes through what I go through. And maybe that's true. But that's what we're here for. So if I can quote Reb Meilich Biederman one more time, and if you've never been introduced to his Torah, I recommend it strongly. I was talking to Rabbi Singer before, and he told me it's like a good cold glass of water. And you're thirsty, it's mired, it's fantastic. And Reb Meilich Biederman called this young friend of mine in Hopkins, Erev Rosh Hashanah. What do you tell a boy, Erev Rosh Hashanah, when he's in the hospital already for 3 months? What do you tell him? So this is what he told him. Now I heard this only 5 days ago I heard this. Last Shabbos I was in Chicago, and I repeated this, and I probably repeated it 20 times since then, and every person reacts with wow. So I hope I get a wow or two in the crowd tonight, because what I'm about to tell you is a game changer. And you're always warned when you speak, never build something up too much. But if I'm boring you until now, please listen to what I'm about to tell you. Reb Meilich Biederman told this 14 and a half, 15-year-old boy who was going through chemotherapy. He told him, when you ask someone for money, and then he says to you, do you have 50 cents change? What does he want to give you? He wants to give you a dollar. And if he asks you if you have $3 change, it's because he wants to give you a 5. And if he asks you for $6 change, it's because he wants to give you a 10. And if he asks you for $14 change, It's because he's going to give you a 20. If he asks you for $40 change, it's because he wants to give you a 50. And if he asks you for $75 change, it's because he's going to pull out of his pocket a $100 bill and hand it to you, and so on and so forth. And he said to the boy, Shimshi, can you begin to imagine what Hashem wants to give you? If this is what he's asking for in exchange. If we would realize that every nisayon, every test we face in life, Hashem is asking us for change. But you have no idea, my dear children, he says, what I want to give to you. I want to give you so much. I'm going to ask you to go through some difficult tests for me. But the reward will be immeasurable. It will be a life of connection and a life of mission. So on Hanukkah, the Yevonim, the Hellenists, they come to us and they want to shut down the Jewish people. Not in the way that Hitler, Yimach Shemoy, wanted to do it. Not by annihilating us physically, but by destroying us spiritually. And he says, the Yevonim say to us, all right. And imagine for a moment that we're in a classroom. I'm a Rebbe. And so everything comes back to the classroom. And imagine we're in a classroom and I'm Antiochus. And I say, okay, class, called together you, the greatest minds of the Greek people. And I am asking you, what good decrees can we institute to prevent the Jewish people from thriving? And one person raises his hand and says, how about we stop them from learning Torah? That is a great answer. And then Antiochus says, what about another suggestion? And somebody says, hey, how about Shabbos? And Antiochus says, excellent. And I'll tell you the truth. Shabbos is a good one. Boy in my class was speaking to the rest of the boys in the class about Shabbos. And we did it right before the Shabbos project. Every boy in the class spoke about Shabbos. And this boy got up. And every boy said a beautiful story about Shabbos. And this boy gets up and he says, I need you to do an experiment with me. So everybody please sit up straight. That's right, sit up straight. And I want you to tighten and clench your fists. And the boys did it. And he says, close your eyes. Tighter. I want you to clench and tighten every muscle and nerve in your body. Tighter. Now let go. That's Shabbos. Great idea, Antiochus says. Take away the one day of the week that the Jews look forward to for connection with Hashem. Excellent. Any other suggestions in the crowd? And one fellow raises his hand and he says, the covenant between the Jewish people and their creator is bris milah, circumcision. Let's stop bris milah. And Antiochus can hardly control his excitement. Yes, bris milah, the great connector. People call me all the time and email me for stories, and I'm very grateful. And a person who sends me stories all the time sends me a story almost as an afterthought. And he says, how about this one? And he sends me the following story. And Baruch Hashem, I'm writing Agoda now, so it's good for people to send you stories. So the person writes that he and his wife were expecting a child. They lived in Eretz Yisrael. And his mother was not well. She was living in Toronto and she wasn't well. And he told his mother the good news. We're going to be having a child. And her mother, his mother is an almana. She's a widow. And he says to her, "Mommy, we know you'll be so excited. We're having a baby." And she says, "You know that I'm not well. And I won't be able to participate in person, come to Eretz Yisrael, but I'll be able to be in Toronto. And I'll participate from afar." And he and his wife did something incredible. And they said, "You know what, we're going to do some beautiful Kibbutz Avaim." And they went to Toronto to have the baby. And they had the baby, and he said to his mother, "Mommy, I want to ask Zaidi, your father, to be the sandik, to be the one that holds the baby at the bris." And that's what he did. But his mother said to him, you know Zaidi has never been sandik his entire life. And he says, "I know, but I'm going to ask him anyway." And he went to ask him if he would be the sandik. He says, "Thank you so much, but I can't be the sandik." He says, "I know you've never been until now. Tell me why." He says, "I don't want to talk about it." He says, "Zaidi, please." He says, "Okay." It's the sight of blood that gets me very nervous, and I can't participate in a bris. He says, "Why?" And the Zayda closes his eyes and transports himself back in time. He says, "My friends and I were taken by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, out of the city in front of a ditch. And we were told to stand there as they were about to kill us. And the order was given, and the shots rang out, and we all fell backward. But I wasn't hit. I fell a split second beforehand. But the Nazis were not satisfied, and everybody else was dead, and I was under them. I was drowning in their blood. And I couldn't help but to think, the Pasuk says, 'Bidomayi chayi, bidomayi chayi. In your blood I will live, in your blood I would live.' And I'm thinking to myself, I'm under you, my dear friends. But the only reason I'll survive is because I'm wearing your blood." And the Nazi guards came and they poked each person, and he managed not to elicit a sound. And he says, "And I survived. But I can't participate as the sandik of your child." And he said, "Zaidi, it says Bidomayi Chayi twice in the Pasuk. The first time it says Bidomayi Chayi is referring to the dam of the carbon, the blood of the carbon. Zaidi, you have fulfilled Bidomayi Chayi of the carbon. You've gone through the experience of being a carbon. But the second time it says Bidomayi Chayi is referring to the dam Mila. Zaidi, please fulfill the Pasuk." And he did, and he became the sandik for the first time in his life. So Antiochus is overjoyed with the suggestion of shutting down Mila. "Is there anyone else that has a suggestion in the room?" Antiochus asks his class of Greek scholars. And one fellow raises his hand and says, "Oh, I got it. I got it. How about abolishing the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, sanctifying the new moon?" And the entire class turns around and starts laughing. "Really? Oh yeah, that's a biggie. Shutting down, blessing the new moon? Why is that so important? And I imagine if most of us in this room would have composed a list of their top 50 mitzvahs, I don't think Kiddush HaKadosh would have made it. So indeed, let's ask the question. Why is Kiddush HaKadosh, sanctifying the moon, so important? There's a Sefer Asichu B'chukecha by Rav Kluger, a Kloisenberger Chassid, and he says a magnificent thought. A Jew is lonely and depressed, a little bit lost, finds himself on the outskirts of town where there's no lights, looks up at the sky as it's dark, and thinks, maybe, just maybe, he has caught a glimmer of light. Could it be? Is it a new moon? And he runs back to Beis Din. He runs back to the court. And he says, I saw it. I saw the light. It's a new month. And Beis Din hears from him testimony. And they inquire about the accuracy. And then another fellow, also perhaps lost on a dark road, also sees that sight. And those two individuals are the ones that establish when Yontif will be for the entire Jewish people. It's not a meeting of the great minds of Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbonim. It's not a meeting of the greatest Askonim and Gvirim, those who are involved and support the community. Who is it? It's the lost Jew, a simple-minded nobody. He lights up the world for the Jewish people. He is the one that establishes when Pesach will be, when Sukkot will be, when Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur will be. And so the fellow in the back of the room tells Antiochus, we can deal with the biggies. We'll take on the great ones of the Jewish people. But if the Jewish people are going to have amongst them regular people who are able to light up the world, then Antiochus, we are a lost cause. Chazal tell us, Reb Chaim Balozhiner says, that when someone learns Torah, not when Reb Shach, Reb Eliashiv, Reb Shlomo Zalman, not when Chacham Ovadia Yosef, but when a regular person learns Torah, maybe a beginner, maybe a child, when they say over the words of the Gemara, with all of their mispronunciations, with all of their failures and shortcomings, not able to understand a word of it, the Almighty Himself sits bipamalio delay with His heavenly entourage, and He says to Abaye and Rava and Rebbe Kiva and Rebbe Meir, "Shh, I want to hear what He's saying." And He repeats the words of every single Jew saying Torah. If we would realize when we are sitting and breaking our heads, frustrated over some of the simplest ideas in Torah, if we would realize that Hashem has hushed the entire heavenly court to hear our words, and He's repeating them, who could imagine how great would it feel? Reb Chaim Balozhiner says that's what happens. There's an organization in Eretz Yisrael called L'Chaim, to life. It's for people and families that have had struggles, medical issues and others. And they were having their inaugural dinner. And the founder of the organization gets up and he says, I would like to thank all of you for coming this evening. I was not well as a child. And because of a little support because of an encouraging word, I was able to turn it around, to find the strength and resolve to overcome all adversity. And I'd like to call to the podium the doctor that changed my life, Dr. Eli Charcon. Please come up. And I want to tell you the story. The story was, I was diagnosed with an illness, and I'll tell you the truth, I didn't feel good at all. And they were very, very skeptical if I would live. And as the doctor finished giving me my diagnosis, I'm walking out the door of the office, and the nurse is holding the door, and the doctor says to the nurse, Dr. Cohen says to the nurse, Eze yeledim koach. Look at that child. Look at the strength he has. And for me, that's all I needed to hear. But the doctor thought I was a healthy young boy, and I fought, and I was able to overcome all of the challenges that stood in my way. And Dr. Eli Charcon comes up to the podium, and he accepts the award. And he says, ladies and gentlemen, I have a confession to make. It is true, the story happened exactly as it was just told, with one small omission. The nurse opened the door, and there was a child that was walking in. He was the child I was talking about. I wasn't even referring to this fellow. He was a very sick boy, and I didn't think he was going to live. If we would realize that the Almighty looks at each and every one of His children, everyone in this room, and how proud He is of each of us for fighting the challenges, for looking to overcome the darkness of Yavon. Eze yeled im koach. He's so proud of us all. Chanukah is the yontif of the underdog. There's a lot of halachas, a lot of laws that surround the holiday that don't necessarily seem on the surface to have a common thread. But even though the Shekhinah, the divine presence of the Almighty, never goes below 10 tefachim, 10 handbreadths, for the Chanukah menorah is lit 3 tefachim off the ground. Because the divine presence of the Almighty goes even lower to scoop up every struggling Jew. And we light the candles ad shetich leregel min hashuk, until the last person is in the marketplace. It's a metaphor. Until those last people who are in the marketplace struggling, they don't know if they should come into the synagogue, into the Beis Medrash. We want the lights to even reach out to them. Chanukah is in the dead of the winter, at the end of the month, unlike every other Yontif, which is in either the beginning or the middle. We light it on the left-hand side, the weaker side. All oils, every shemen, representing the Jewish people, just as the Jewish people do not assimilate with any other nation, oil does not mix with any other liquid. And finally, the lights of the Chanukah menorah are never bottle, they're never null and void. They're osur bana, forbidden forever. You can never use them afterwards. Why? Because the Almighty never gives up on a Jew. The light of the Jew lasts forever. Yes, this is the time. It's the time when Hashem says to all of us, I'm coming around. I'm looking for you. even though it seems like Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hoshana Rabbah, it seems like it's over. Chazal tell us, Zois Chanukah, the eighth day of Chanukah, believe it or not, is the final time of judgment. Few days away. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming around, looking, because he sees the spark inside each and every one of you. And he knows that you'll be attracted to his lights like a magnet. I end with the following story. I think it's the most meaningful story in my book. Book Touch of Chizuk I just wrote. I think it's the best story in the book. Certainly, it has the most meaning to me. Recently, BBC Radio celebrated or commemorated the 75th anniversary of the Kinder Transport. The Kinder Transport was an effort of people to somehow, some way, save the children of Austria and Germany and bring them to safer havens. To bring them to places such as England, where they would be safe. And BBC Radio interviewed one survivor, a man 87 years old. And as he's interviewing him, the man says, "I can't tell you only about my experiences. I must tell you about a friend of mine. When they took us out of the country, they brought us to an orphanage. And in the orphanage, they gave us whatever we wanted. They gave us toys, they gave us chocolate, they gave us everything. And all of us were happy after a few days, even though we were not with our parents. But my friend was inconsolable. He cried day and night, and they said to him, 'What is it going to take?' And he said, 'I only want one thing.' I said, 'What do you want?' He says, 'I want to meet with the King of England.' They said, 'You want to meet with the King of England?' 'Yes.' 'And you'll stop crying if you do?' 'Yes.' 'Okay, we'll arrange for it. But you have to spend some time preparing. We have to teach you the laws of etiquette, how to talk, how to walk, how to conduct yourself in front of royalty.' And he was willing to do it. And for 3 weeks he worked hard. Until the day came. King George VI had recently ascended the crown and the throne. Because his brother had left. And now he decided he wants to go through the villages and the hamlets. He wants to see his subjects. He wants to meet his constituents. And as he's going through village to village, he finally came to our village, the fellow says. But my friend thought he was getting a private meeting with the king. And there's barricades up. And everybody from the village is coming to see the king. And he was very unhappy. And he decided that's it. And when the king passed by, he decided he is going to jump the barricade. And he jumps the barricade. And he starts running towards the king's carriage. When suddenly the royal guards pounce on him, this little boy, and they pound him to the ground. The king hears there's a big commotion, and he looks outside and he says, "What's happening here?" They said, "Well, the little boy was running towards the carriage." And he says, "It's a little boy, leave him alone. Bring him here." And he brings the boy into his carriage and he says to him, "Little boy, tell me, who are you? Where are you from?" And the boy starts to talk and he says, "You're not from here." He says, "No, I'm from Germany." He says, "Well, what can I do for you?" "I'm the King of England." He says, "I want you to bring me my parents." He says, "Bring your parents? We're on the brink of war with Germany. A lot easier said than done. You said you're the king. You can do anything." "Okay. We'll see what we can do." And 2 days later, there's a knock on the door of the orphanage. And lo and behold, my friend was reunited with his parents. And the man, 87 years old, telling over the story, is crying and sobbing bitterly. And the interviewer says, "What is wrong? That is the most beautiful story. Why are you crying?" And he says, "I'll never forgive myself." Why? Why didn't I jump the barricade? Why didn't I approach the king? Why didn't I save my parents? It is not often that we are given the opportunity to have the king coming through the village. But Chanukah, the Ribbono Shel Olam, Almighty God, says, "My dear children, I'm coming to visit." And every time each one of us works hard to overcome that nisayon, it is the miracle of Chanukah all over again. It is the ability for the few to overcome the many, to overcome the insurmountable odds that we face. It is not easy being a frum Jew. It is not easy keeping Torah and mitzvahs, but it is the most fulfilling life in the universe. And every little bit that we do, every ounce of Shmirah Shabbos, every time you pray, every moment that we learn, every moment that we work on our midos, on our character development, we are telling the Ribbono Shel Olam, "Thank you for visiting." Yehi Ratzon, may it be the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that each of us find the beauty and the strength that we have inside of us to come in touch with the light. And Emir Tzashem, that light inside of us will create a flame, a fire, that will never stop. Ad bi'az goyel tzedek b'mheirav yameinu, amen. Thank you.
A very big yashikayach to Rabbi Spiro for his inspiring words of Torah and stories.